we are apart, you know, and working together to support our students and employees clearly has demonstrated that we can do that and still be successful as an academic institution. For 2021, what I look forward to is continuing to have these conversations about diversity, equity, inclusion. But what I'm most excited about is that we are working as a Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Steering Committee. We have a work group that is working on a strategic plan for our institution in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and having specific goals for all of the areas, if it's nursing or engineering or adult basic education, that all of our areas of our college will have some goals and objectives that they are working towards when it comes to DEI. And so I'm looking forward to being able to see that come to fruition and to implement that and to continue those conversations with not only the leaders of those areas, but also hearing the student voice and having them give input and be involved as well in our equity walk. And now that we're not just going to be talking, we're going to be walking and getting this work done.
Doing the work, walking the walk. Tammy Summers, yes. Dr. Yes. Tammy Summers.
Yes.
Dr. Tammy Summers is the Vice President of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Gateway Technical College. Yes. Thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great conversation.
Indeed. Until next time. Bye, everybody.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of education leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today, my guests will share with you the challenges and triumphs of a very special group of college students, those who are aging out of the foster care system and at the same time entering college. College is challenging enough if you have a home to return to on breaks and financial support from a family. Imagine being declared an adult and trying to navigate a system that is set up for students from traditional families. Today's guests include support personnel who will describe the Fostering Success program and a student who is thriving because of the extra support she gets in college. So our guests today are Gail Menzel, who has been an advisor at UW Stout in the TRIO Support Program Services since 2015 and the Fostering Success Advisor since 2018. Gail has over 25 years of experience working in higher education. The work in fostering success has been the most rewarding and important position she's held. Welcome, Gail.
Thank you, Karen.
And I just want to also, just for purposes of full disclosure, say that Gail and I were high school classmates.
Yes,
Preble, Green Bay Preble High, woo! 1983, go Hornets. So that's part of how this came about. Our next guest is Olivia Johnston, who's a senior at UW Stout, a lead peer mentor for fostering success. Olivia is a senior in business administration, has been both a participant and a mentor in fostering success at Stout. Welcome, Olivia. You're muted, but we will let you say hello later. According to Gail, Olivia's role as a leader and mentor in fostering success serves as a critical role at the success in the success of the Fostering Success program. This shared lived experience is a connection and builds a community of students. Olivia's emails and validation of the welcoming, supportive role of our office increases the number of students interested in participating. Without her or a leader in this office, the challenge of engaging new and current students would be significantly greater. So that is high praise, Olivia. Angie Roop is that right? Roopy, sorry. Director of TRIO Student Support Services and Fostering Success at UW Stout, has been at UW Stout since 2015 as the director of TRIO Support Services, Student Support Services, and Fostering Success, programs that support students who are first generation, meet low income criteria, students with disabilities, and students out of home care experience. Having earned both her undergraduate and graduate degrees from the UW system, one of her favorite parts of her job is getting to work with students during their entire time at Stout, from their first year through their own graduation. Welcome, Angie.
Hello, happy to be here.
And Tawny Latonya, is that correct? Tawny Latonya has been the Fostering Success Coordinator at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee since it started in 2017. She has worked with students in the Office of Undergraduate Admissions at UWM since 2001 and is dedicated to helping students achieve their college goals. Her interests are in supporting not only foster youth, but also homeless youth interested in attending college. So Tawny, welcome to you also.
Happy to join you.
So your program is called Fostering Success. Can you tell us how it got started and the basics about this program, Angie?
Yeah, sure. This is Angie here. I'd be happy to answer that question. So Fostering Success is the first program of its kind in the UW system. It began as a grassroots effort on campus to address a need we are seeing. Fostering Success program actually began in the admissions office in 2013 through the vision of Pamela Holsinger Fuchs and Greta Munns and funding through the Department of Children and Families as the one-time grant. The following year, an employee at Stout made a generous reoccurring donation to the program that provided funding to continue for the first 3 years. After several more transitions, Fostering Success found its home as a program of support and collaboration with TRIO Student Support Services. Stout students that we serve are participants in both TRIO and Fostering Success. And through this structure, they receive advisement and support, tutoring, career development, financial literacy through TRIO. Fostering Success then provides an additional layer of support and services that TRIO, because it's a federally funded grant program, cannot provide due to grant restrictions and regulations. Fostering Success can provide direct aid to students through a supply closet with basic items, scholarships, emergency financial support. We have a peer mentoring program with our Fostering Success upperclassmen, provide family dinners exclusively for Fostering Success students, and we provide student jobs in the program for all academic years, and opportunities for leadership and advocacy through professional conferences, presentations, community advocacy, and representation on our advisory board. Fostering Success also runs a summer camp experience at Stout for students in high school who have foster or other out-of-home care experience. During a 1 to 2 night camp, students learn about financial aid, other funding sources. They take strengths assessment, learn about 4-year and 2-year college options, apprenticeships, Job Corps, and military. And through that experience, campers really learn about the hidden curriculum of college, that they're not alone, that there's others like them attending, and start seeing themselves in higher ed and making the next steps for their post-secondary plan. Fostering Success continues at Stout and continues to be primarily funded through community grants and private donations. We do receive work study dollars and funding through Stout Student Jobs Program, which in part funds our student workers. And Stout also provides funding for a graduate assistant in the program.
Okay, thank you for all of that information. Tawny, can you tell us a little bit about Milwaukee's program?
Yes, at UW-Milwaukee, our program was actually inspired by UW-Stout's in fall of 2017. I first became interested in that idea, and by spring of 2018, we had a committee made up of students, faculty, and staff to help build our program. Our first official group of students came in for the year of 2018 and 19, and I've had the pleasure of working with them since.
Great. So I would imagine that the pipeline for information for students who maybe, this is true of all first generation students, but students who are in the foster care system might not really know how this all works. So the first question I have is, how do you find these students or how do they find you?
And this is Gail, and I'll start this question and then Tawny will add some information as well. UW Stout starts the process at registration, first year registration and orientation. We have a survey that's required of students in order to attend an orientation session and register for classes. And over the years, we have added a question to that survey to try to identify students that are eligible for our program. And you're absolutely right. Students don't know a lot about the process of enrollment, and sometimes they have terms and definitions for their own lived experience that it's sometimes challenging for them to self-identify. So on our question, we try to be as inclusive as possible to make sure that we're not missing any students that might be eligible. So we ask students to let us know if they have experience in a foster home, in residential care, a group home, a court-ordered placement with a relative called kinship care, adoption, if they're an orphan or ward of the court, if they have experienced homelessness, and if there's any other out of home care they've experienced that's not listed. So we tend to get a lot of responses in that initial survey, and then begins the process of education and information and awareness to see who is actually a good fit for our program of fostering success. When students answer yes, it also allows us to identify and check with the independent living specialist for the state of Wisconsin on their eligibility for the Brighter Stars Scholarship. So this is a fund that a very small small number, I should say, of students actually qualify for, but it's $5,000 a year. And so we want to make sure at a very minimum that any student coming to Stout that is eligible for that funding gets it. And beyond that, all the other services that we offer are definitely available to those students, but that's kind of a primary goal. Right now, we probably have out of our 43 students in fostering success, 4 or 5 that are eligible for this scholarship. So it's a very limited number of students that are awarded the financial support from the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. Tawny, can you tell us a little more about how it works at UWM?
Yeah, at UWM, we use a very similar method, a combination of freshman survey and also data from the FAFSA. Gail and I have actually been encouraging all universities to do 3 really simple steps to help foster youth, even if they don't have a fostering success program at their university, by asking the financial aid to run a list of foster youth on their campus at least 2 times a year. We can have an idea of how many foster youth are on their campus. Once they have that list, they can then reach out to the students that may qualify but have not been awarded the Brighter Star so that we can get that funding and make sure they're aware of that opportunity. They can also enroll these students in success coaching opportunities. At UWM, we use existing programs like Student Support Services, our Multicultural Offices, Milwaukee Scholars or MKE Scholars, and also our Life Impact Program that works with our student parents. However, really the most important thing is to have that single point of contact for foster youth, someone to help them when they have questions and really help them through the processes of getting into college and being successful. These initial steps are not a huge time or resource commitment, so they go a long way to making sure that students that are eligible are supported financially and connected to support person on campus.
This brings up a question that I have. Since Stout and UW-Milwaukee are represented here, do we know if other campuses in the UW system have this program, or maybe even some of the private campuses?
Sure, this is Tawny from UWM, and right now it's mainly UW-Stout and UW-Milwaukee that have an official program, but we've seen interest from other college campuses, both the 2-year and the 4-year campuses, that are interested in learning more about supporting these students. So we're hoping to expand the program throughout Wisconsin.
Okay, great. So anybody that's listening that's a college administrator, here's your opening. A lot of college attendance the process of college attendance and application begins in high school. So who is helping the Fostering Success students apply to college?
Sure. This is Tawny from UWM. I can answer that one. One of the benefits of having Fostering Success, our program directly in undergraduate admissions, is that we're already visiting high schools. We're talking to school counselors. We're helping students apply for college. However, we do some special programs specifically designed for foster youth. Really, the exposure to college comes in so many different forms. UWM sponsors outreach programs like bingo nights, and we had a Halloween bowling party in our recreation center. But we also participate in college career fairs that are specific to foster youth and put together UWM days for community organizations where we can cover information on how to prepare for college.
Okay, Angie?
Yeah, so I'll speak a little bit to, as I mentioned before, Fostering Success hosts an annual summer overnight camp for foster youth in high school that are entering grades 9 through 12 across Wisconsin that allows them to attend camp, live on campus, and experience college. Students not only learn about UW-Stout, we visit a local two-year technical college, and we talk about the resources and the supports available to help make college possible. During the two-day session, we also have presentations from our campus partners, which include Multicultural Student Services, ROTC Military, Financial Aid, and our Independent Living Specialist meets with students and provides information on state funding through the Brighter Stars Scholarship. Our peer mentor staff, all current Stout students in the Fostering Success Program, are paid to help run the camp. Their lived experience in foster care and other out-of-home care and at Stout help build the community of campers and demonstrates how a transition to college can be done successfully. So the camp is not only filled with learning, but also games and activities to share experiences, help build bridges, and make some valued connections with our peers in the college community.
Hey, so I just want to have a little reintroduction break. You're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Fostering Success Program at UW-Stout and UW-Milwaukee is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. And I forgot to say at the beginning of this program, I just want you all to recall that we are still recording from our homes and workplaces rather than in the studio. So occasionally we have little glitches with sound or interruptions from pets or children or other household members. So bear with us if any of that happens during this recording. So now we're going to turn to actually a student who works in the program. And she's going to tell us a little bit about it. So I want to ask you, Olivia, tell us some specific things that you do for students in the program. I mean, do you help students shop for their dorm rooms and books, or is the support mainly academic, or what happens in the Fostering Success program?
Sure. So Fostering Success offers a multitude of things. One thing that I do want to say is that we are lucky because we have laptops provided to us. So we don't have to necessarily help with that, but things such as providing an advisor, Gail, who helps with financial and personal support. And a lot of the time, the students in this program face problems that aren't typical to normal students. So we have a supply closet, which has food, clothing, bathing products, stuff like that. So that's one thing that we upkeep. Another one is we have a family dinner twice a month. That alleviates one dinner each week or twice a week that we can do for them. Also, we have the jobs, which Angie talked about, which is what I do as a peer mentor, which is really nice because it works around schedules that are really tough as far as schoolwork goes, that we can do that on the job as well. So with all those supports, I think there's many different things that I didn't even touch on that we help with that really helps from the student's perspective.
Thanks. Tawny?
Yeah, we help students in a variety of ways. We have shown students how to ride the bus. We've helped them understand their medical bills. We've found free resources for them to file their taxes. Basically, if a student has a concern, they're welcome to connect with us, and we do our best to help them.
Gail?
Exactly, Tani and Olivia. This is Gail at Stout. In addition to the life skills, I think it's important to recognize that every student that comes to us has unique needs and experiences. And so, you know, from the point of identifying the youth as eligible, Olivia and I are in contact with the new students via email. We stay connected. This last summer, we stayed connected with the students weekly after they registered for classes, just to check in and start feeding them pieces of information to help them with their transition. Stout also provides, through our donors, a welcome basket to each new freshman. And this is filled with all the supplies that a student may come to campus with, sheets, towels, hygiene items, hot chocolate, laundry detergent, and the students are invited to request a basket. We deliver it to their dorm before they arrive, and so they can set up their room on day one on campus. We work with a lot of partners and are able to defer housing deposits until students get their financial aid. What we find is that students who are engaged tend to have higher GPAs and retention and graduation rates. And so employing our students and having them in our office is incredibly important. And then having students in the office with that shared lived experience is beneficial on so many levels that we've already kind of touched on. Our peer mentors gather as a community of support and encourage one another during the family dinners and hanging out pre-COVID in our office space. And it becomes a very trusting, welcoming community of support where any questions, any issues that arise are okay. And we're gonna help students navigate through those in order to make sure that they're not derailing their education by a policy or a bill or something that they just are having trouble figuring out on their own.
So I just, one of the things that you described earlier really struck me. So Olivia, I'm going to ask you to answer and tell us a little bit more about the family dinners. Where do they happen? How many people are there? What happens at the family dinners?
Sure. So in prior years, I think we've had, like, ever since I've been here, we've had a couple different places that we used to be in. There used to be like an apartment style room within like the buildings at Stout that we used to use to make meals. Now we have an open vacant space where we're located at FS and SSS, and we use that. We don't can't cook any meals anymore just because of COVID. So we do a lot of individual packaged meals that we can all share. We've had turnouts of like, correct me if I'm wrong, Gail, like 17 people in the past. 17 to 20 people. We invite 30 plus people. And just with COVID, we also have to take that down. I think it's 10 that we're doing max in the room just to ensure social distancing rules. But it's really great time for all of us to get together. You know, it's students of likeness that we all get to talk about school or play games, enjoy some good food. And again, really that alleviating that one meal a night really helps. I can say for myself too that it's just great bonding time with other students.
Okay, thank you for telling us more. So I know you mentioned this earlier, but how is your program funded?
Sure, I can start. This is Tawny from UWM. My position is funded through undergraduate admissions, and the fostering success coordinator part of that is around 25% of my position. However, funding for the student support is provided through generous donations from our community. Specifically to note is Delta Kappa Gamma, who has repeatedly donated to our linen closet, provided grants for personal finance courses, and gift cards for textbooks. Anyone can donate to our program, and we currently have an Amazon wish list on our website.
Okay, I'll make sure that I put that on the Facebook page in the comments so that people can see that if they would like to help out. What about at Stout, Angie?
Yeah, so this is Angie. I'm really proud of the creative way that we've sort of structured fostering success at Stout. Because of our collaboration with TRIO, we can provide a robust menu of supports for students. And then there's an additional layer of critical support that fostering success provides. Annually requires a basic budget of just $15,000, in addition to the funding that Stout provides for some of our student workers and our graduate assistant. Gail and I combined have just a 10% FTE dedicated to fostering success, and the remaining budget is dedicated to our student workers, items for the supply closet, family dinner, and our summer camp. With 43 students actively involved in the program, that's a cost of just under $350 per student, and that's provided through community grants and private donations. And so while the cost of running a fostering success program without collaboration with TRIO may be more expensive, it may be upwards of $100,000 a year, compared with the cost of not supporting access, retention, and college graduation, I still believe it's a worthy investment. Not only does it make sense from a social perspective just to do the right thing and support our students, it makes sense from an economic perspective. According to Jim Casey Youth Opportunities Initiative, a youth who does not pursue higher education could consume upwards of $300,000 through their adult lifetime, including benefits from SSI, SSID, SNAP, WIC, and Medicaid. So the economic impact for our local communities and for our state is imperative, with just doing this minimal initial investment.
Right, so the goal really is to help these students enter and successfully complete college, which will give them a chance to be more economically productive and probably just more in, sort of embedded in the community. Is that part of the thinking
exactly
behind it? Yeah.
And yep, that's exactly our mission.
Great. So do you collect information about the program and what works best, and what have you learned from the research that you've done? I think Gail is the next person on the list.
Right. I was just getting unmuted. So this is Gail. When supported, it's important to know that foster care alumni tend to outperform their peers on campus. But access without support doesn't always equate to opportunity and success. So the human support, the community of support is an important component to our success stories. Some of the statistics that we share during our education and advocacy work is that first, the number of foster youth is increasing across the country. Some recent statistics indicate there's about 443,000 youth in foster care nationally. 1 in 5 of those youth will become homeless. Only half will be employed at the age of 24. 71% of women will be pregnant by 21. 1 in 4 of the youth experience PTSD. And 1 in 4 prisoners have experienced foster care. More former foster youth end up in jail right now than in college. And while 79 to 80% of high school youth that are in foster care indicate they would like to earn a college degree, only 33% of those graduate high school, 7 to 13% of those students enroll in college. And then research indicates about 3% of students with a background in foster care earn a 4-year degree. These numbers vary sometimes when you look at the research. I think if you include students who earn a diploma or a 2-year degree, those numbers might be a little higher. We also believe that the numbers of youth that identify as having foster care experience is probably low. So not everyone wants to bring that identity and carry that through college as well. In Wisconsin, we have about 300 students that age out of foster care each year. And in Wisconsin, students or youth will age out at the age of 18. We've had students who've turned 18 in summer and are homeless until college starts. And so we've been able to connect. When we identify those students, we can connect with our housing office, and they've worked with us to get those students moved on campus, sometimes employed and taking classes, which is, we'll talk about our campus partners later, but that's the Residence Life Houses or department is a huge partner with Fostering Success.
Hey, Angie, do you want to tell a little bit about GPA and retention? Oh, you're muted right now. Okay. Oh, all right. Oops, we're having a little bit of trouble with the sound. I'm going to make a note of when that happens. We
can. Yeah, I think I'm back. I think.
Oh, you are back.
Happened to my internet.
Okay, you're back.
Yeah. I didn't hear what you said, though.
So we were talking about the research that you've done. So you had something to tell us a little bit about GPA retention and graduation rates. Mm-hmm.
So this is Angie, and I can speak to, you know, the goals of both TRIO SSS and Fostering Success are to increase the good academic standing, retention, and graduation rates of the students that we serve. We've been tracking these metrics for Fostering Success since 2018. And the retention rate from fall 2018 to fall 2019 was 84%. We're extremely proud of that number. The retention rate from fall 2019 to fall 2020 did dip to 70%, primarily because of COVID-19, which disproportionately affected our Fostering Success students and those students who are low income. And that's reflected in that number. The average cumulative GPA of students in the program for the last academic year was 2.9. So again, extremely proud of those numbers for our students.
Okay, and Tawny, can you tell us about UWM?
Sure. When we looked at other institutions that have been doing Fostering Success programs throughout the nation, there's around 80 or so of them. And one really clear example of how states can support foster youth is through Fostering Success Michigan. So Michigan has a network of programs that support foster youth throughout their state. Both Gail and I attended the Fostering Success Coach Training Program at Western Michigan University. And there they actually have a CETA Scholar program that supports about 150 students with $13,400 in scholarships for each of them. It's an amazing array of support services that they offer. And I would love to see the financial support for students like this in Wisconsin.
Okay, so we do have a model in our neighboring state. A little reintroduction break. You're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Fostering Success Program at UW-Stout and UW-Milwaukee is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So, like everything and everyone, I'm sure your program has been affected by COVID-19. It's already come up a few times in our discussion. So what are some of the effects of the virus restrictions on Fostering Success, and how have you overcome them? So Tawny, maybe you could tell us about Milwaukee.
Yeah, the quick switch to online courses was challenging, but UWM was able to provide computers and internet for those who needed assistance. We also relied heavily on our emergency grant program, and the UWM Food Center and Pantry was able to meet students' needs with the food and also just the additional help that they might need. Community members also donated hand sanitizer and cleaning supplies and thermometers to our students. But one of the hardest things students are facing right now is what everyone is facing with COVID, and that's COVID fatigue. Students are experiencing additional stress due to COVID-19, and these challenges can really impact their academic success. Connecting students to support programs such as tutoring and counseling services has really been critical.
Okay, and Olivia, tell us a little bit about what it's like for you as a student and a student worker.
I think COVID's affected us all like pretty much the same. Kind of as Tawny said, I think it's just tiring of all the online communication and online work and all of that. that comes with it. We, like Yael said, we've been in really close contact with a lot of our students since summer, since we went online last year. So we've been keeping in close contact via Teams or email. So it helps being able to still be in contact with them. But I think it's hard without that face-to-face contact and emotional connection that we get from seeing students that just come in the office that can just decompress there after a long day and tell us about what's going on, or even the family dinners with it being limited and things like that. I think it's just tough being stuck at home and cranking through work at home, and especially with dorms and stuff. I think a lot of students get scared about housing insecurities and things like that, considering we're having, you know, a lot of schools are going on 2-week lockdowns or they're not coming back to campus. So I think that it instills a lot of fear in the freshman and sophomore population that have that dorm housing.
That actually brings up another question that I'm sure our listeners have, which is the fostering success students, are they able to stay on campus during their breaks or in the summertime, or how does that work? Olivia, do you know?
Yes, Gail, like FS is in really close contact. I think they have a good relationship with the housing department. And there's obviously, like, I think it's like, I don't know, a 2-month or a 2-week discrepancy period of when you're moving out of the dorm and into like housing, say off-campus housing, in which you don't have housing. So you can schedule to live on campus a little bit longer, which I've taken advantage of. And then summer housing, I believe, is available for students as well. And I think that when right now, even the freshmen's got to apply to live on campus still, even though they're shutting down the dorms, I think. So there is an opportunity for that to happen.
Okay. Gail, do you have anything to add to that?
Sure. Olivia's right. The partnership we have with housing is really important for our students when they're entering campus. Sometimes it's the first place that they have as a home address. And so it's important for us to be aware of that. And as things arise like COVID, consider that student experience in the way that we move forward. And so we're lucky to have those conversations across our programs. And students are finding that the residence halls at Stout are pretty much available to them as needed, as well as sometimes, like I said earlier, jobs that they have available for our students as well. I was also gonna just echo that financial challenges related to COVID were kind of the biggest challenge that our students faced. We did have some CARES funding and emergency funding. And so the main, what we tried to do was get that information to students so that they knew how to apply. So just making sure students were connected to those resources. We had some students who had some housing insecurity, food insecurity, need of hotspots. And so those were just, issues that arose that we addressed as they came up. But again, having a contact like Olivia or myself and Angie to reach out to ask for those resources is huge for these students.
Okay, thank you. I'm actually going to skip really toward the end of our list of questions because we only have a few minutes left. So our listeners really like to hear stories about the programs we feature. And I wonder if each of you can tell us about a student who found support through this program or an event or a story that has really resonated as you do this work. So we'll start with Olivia. Could you tell us a little bit about someone who really has thrived through this program?
So aside from myself, in which I really did thrive from this program, I became comfortable, you know, accepting that I was living, you know, homelessless after high school and kind of jumping through housing. This program is obviously, I'm here talking about it now. And so it's really allowed me to not be ashamed of it. And Gail has said before, you know, we didn't put ourselves in those situations. There's not really anything to be ashamed about. And so we're here in college and making it through. But other than myself, there's someone who I'm really good friends with still. He graduated before me, and Gail's had him, I think, ever since her first year. And there's just a lot of stories that you hear in this program that are unfortunate to listen to. And even coming from an aspect of my own perception of everything that goes on, it's pretty amazing to see these students navigate through to and through college. As Gail always says, it's great what this program has done. And he's still in close contact with Gail and I to this day, and have great relationships. And I just can't thank this program enough for the amount of times that I had so much fun bonding with him and that and Gail, and all the support that they have helped him and I out with. And so that's probably one of the many success stories that's came out of this program.
Okay, thank you. Gail, can you tell us about a success story?
Sure. So I consider every eligible student that kind of walks through my door a success story. If a student is here at Stout, it means that they've already overcome significant challenges and have navigated the college entrance application and entrance and enrollment process successfully. And so I'm always just beyond thrilled when students get to that point. And the fact that they are here really drives my desire to support their success. They've made it this far, so I want to make sure that they're retained and they graduate successfully. I had the unique experience when I started at UW-Stout in 2015 that my biological son was also starting college here at Stout at the same time. And so in that first year, I saw sort of the differences and the challenges between my students in fostering success and my biological son. And I think you said something about how higher education is set up kind of for the traditional student. And that just became very, very clear. I recall walking past a classroom on campus and seeing my son fully engaged in a lecture. He was looking at the instructor, he was leaning in, completely didn't even know anything else was happening around him, completely engaged. And that's an experience that not all students have the privilege to have in college. A lot of my students are concerned with family relationships, other personal supportive relationships. They have to work to be in college. They may have bills to pay, or maybe finding out that they're evicted and thinking about where's the next place I'm gonna sleep or live. And so that privilege of being completely immersed in the college experience is something that not every student has the privilege to have at Stout or anywhere. And so my goal is to always make sure that as much as possible, I'm leveling the playing field and trying to take away some of those stressors so that my students can really reach the potential and engage fully in the college experience like their peers. In Wisconsin, we have an opportunity to do better. So 30 states around the country offer financial support for their students, which is a huge stressor. And we're trying to advocate to provide that kind of support here in Wisconsin.
Okay, and Tawny at Milwaukee.
Yes, as a new program in our first year in 2018-19, I had the pleasure of meeting so many talented students that were navigating their way through college. They have all overcome so much already to be here, and it's great to see them succeed. I have seen students discover their passions, excel at new internships, and grow as new learners and leaders in their community. But I've had a couple of students participate in the Foster Youth Internship Program through the Congressional Coalition of Adoption Institute. And that was a very proud moment. They were able to intern in Washington, D.C. and have even been able to create a policy report and present that to members of Congress. However, I've also seen students face hardships and challenges that their peers may never experience. And frequently our students do not have the outside support that we often take for granted. Being able to provide these additional services to students can really make a difference in their success. So it's very important.
Okay, well, we're actually almost out of time. I have like one 30-second slot here where you can give me a chance for listeners to help with the program if they want. I know we have a website address for UWM, uwm.edu/fosteringsuccess, which I'll put on the Facebook page in the comments. Is there any similar